You might like to turn in your Bible to the book of Revelation, chapter 13, for a moment. Perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we thank you for thy word, thy work, thy grace. So deal with us, Spirit of God, help us. As we seek to see out the window at the world around us, as we seek to make sure that where we sit and how we sit is resting, God, in you, in your wonderful person, period. Nothing else and nobody else. And our God, we're going to thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. Now, in the light of that, we, if I can go without too much to do. In the light of that, we looked at this morning the movement, very, very dramatic movement, a very out-and-out movement being done with no apologies anymore whatsoever. Everything is straight out, and they don't need to apologize at all. And I likened it, tried to liken it, to the football game, a football game. And the football game, the teams are there, they play by the rules and the umpire, and the umpire's referees. And in the process, that game can go on week after week, and the games go on and everything. Now, when the game is played, this time, the game is played, and the team is used to rules, and the referees and umpires and everything. And they're used to that. So now when they go, the other team they're playing, have been playing, have changed. And they don't play by the rules, rules for radicals, etc. They aren't playing by the rules. They don't play by the rules. And the umpires and the referees, referees are all on their side. They only have one goal, is to make sure the team that is not going to go by the rules wins. And the advantage the team has that doesn't go by the rules that has is the other team does go by the rules. And when I know that you're going to go by the rules, I already know how you're going to play the game. And so now I am able to go and play the game that you don't even know. I'm not going to go by the rules. I know you are. And I'm going to play the game to win. I have the advantage. The children, like God said, the children of the evil one. Why are they so superior to the children of God? The children of God are sort of stupid about stuff. And that's a wild statement, but you get the idea. So, in the light of that, and you need to know that, and that's what happened with the mention it, because it's aggressive. It's a highly aggressive move at the moment, and all is taking place. And I likened it to the day that's coming up. The god of this world, Satan himself, in Revelation, is going to go and put up his image in the temple. He's going to do that because that is the center place of what he wants to do and what he wants to gain. And in the temple, and you'd say you could say everything, but when you go and put your image up in the temple, that's pretty drastic. What you've said out here in the street and in a book is one thing, but when you step into the temple and put your image up, that's a whole nother ball game. The deception is gone. There is no more deception. It's straight, clear cut. That's where we are. That's where we are. There's no, of course, we got everything that we need up in the top in our court. So there's no way to win. There's no way to win here. And the efforts made, I say it because it needs to be said somewhere, the impeachment and all of that, is to try to make sure we eliminate any future anything. That's what we don't want. We don't want this. There'll never, I said it the other day, there'll never be another election where you have the normal election. Everything's going to be set in motion, just like in the Venezuela or Syria, Iran. You don't have to worry. Everything is going to be the same. So now, having said that, in Revelation, and what's he going to do? He's going to go in chapter 13, and we noted in verse 15 and 16 that they're going to receive the mark of the beast so that you cannot buy or sell. Now, hang on to that, and you say, well, there's all the money, things that are going on and everything. Now, what do we know that's that? Well, here we say you wouldn't do that. Well, right off. It's already happened, and is happening. Facebook and Google and Goonie and everything else. What are they doing? They're all cutting off anything, any way, shape, or form that opposes the truth, reality, to see things as they really are. No one is to see anything, understand anything. And they have the power. They're the ones that backed the president, that backed the system, backed the election, fed the system. Why? For money, power. That's what it is. There's no money in just getting the people in Connecticut to buy things. The money is everywhere else, all over the world, and we're a big people, and we want to be everything. So now, and having said that, so they're doing that. You say it's wide open, they're doing it. Now I'm going to add to that what I read just recently in the light of air travel and all of that. What are they going to do? Well, they're going to go with a virus and make sure they register everyone that gets the virus, so that everyone gets the virus is a registered person in these United States, so that they're able to punch a button and see if you're registered when you go anywhere or you do anything, so they can govern. You can go in the store because you're registered. You can get on the airplane because you're registered, etc. That's what they're doing, for good or bad. They're doing that. You say, well, that couldn't be. That, yeah, they're doing it. That's what they're doing. You do. Control. You say that never would be. You'd say, well, they can't. Here we read in Revelation, that's the whole point. In Revelation, you can't buy or sell. I said, they can't do that. They're doing what they're doing. And the money system's going to change. Everything's changing once it's in motion. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, and the football game, we got that illustration out there. And Satan's there, and Satan's going to go and do what he does, and he's, the virus is the means to disrupt everything in every way, shape, or form. So every aspect of a society, from the economy to the government to every business, everything, food, everything, manufacturing, all of it is affected. Doctor's office, we just said that. The doctor thing is good because they don't have anyone in the waiting room. So if you have an appointment, you go in and the chairs say you can't sit down. So there's a good shot that you don't have to wait 2 hours normally because you can get right in. I mean, if you can get that. Now, having said that little bit, and in the process, remember now, this is a long, you don't want to say this is new. This is a long time in coming. It's been a long time in coming. It's been years, presidents and years. Many going back to humanism, even back to evolution in the 1800s and coming forward. All of that, it has affected our educational system. Now, when you and I went to school, some of us, it wasn't there. Wasn't there college and that. And that we didn't have that, any of that. It was there, but it wasn't there because it couldn't express itself. You couldn't have been president if you were a divorced person. You couldn't have been president if you were Roman Catholic. etc. There were real things, and they had them. They were there, so we had some things different. So when we move along in the process, that changed. The 60s dramatically changed everything, and they've never got back to fixing. And all of that happened, it fixed education. In education, people have been raised, college and over and over and over again. They're now head of departments in the government everywhere. And they've been raised in the socialistic, humanistic, communistic kind of thinking. And that's what they do. That's how they've been raised, where they are. And America's guilty and bad because we have things and do things. And they've been ingrained in that. They were trained in that. Now, and so therefore, so what do we have? Well, illustration that may help you, for good or bad. Here, if you can just imagine a tiger in a little zoo. And we have a tiger in the zoo. He has a pretty good cage to run around in. And he's there. And that tiger's been in that cage, in the cage for a while. And we have tried to make sure he eats and everything, his cage is clean. And we do that. But the tiger looks out at everybody, and the tiger's not happy. He's not happy. So therefore, he sits there. And he sits there. And we get comfortable coming up and looking in the cage, and the feeder feeds them. And it seems all right. Years go by. But then, that tiger hasn't changed. That tiger's... And the right opportunity comes to break out of the cage. And when you break out of the cage, that isn't a happy tiger. That's a very mad tiger. Now, you aren't going to tell him and get him to have a pork chop and lead him back into the cage. You're not going to do that. He's not going to do that anymore. The system that has erupted, that's violent and moving, has been like the tiger in the cage. And they've been waiting and waiting, and the virus triggered it all over the world. And the tiger's out. The tiger has no interest in going back in that cage. That's why we got to take care of the president and everybody else and anyone, anywhere that's in the way. Do you understand? And it's wide open. It isn't under the covers anymore. It's right there and going to be there. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, and you know the little phrase, don't let a good crisis go to waste. You all know that, don't you? You never let a good crisis go to waste. Use it to gain your end, And that's what we got. The virus presents a crisis. And it puts us in a very terrible place. And there's not much we can do because we're so vulnerable. And the people are so misfed, misled, don't have information, don't understand. And they're suffering in different ways, job, home, all kinds of things. You have lots more suicide, drugs, a lot more drugs, people, and it's gone away. So, can't go to school. So, having said that little bit, and God, and so the nations, our nation and the nations are seeking to survive. And this is their world. This is their heaven. Remember that. If you're a communist, socialist, if you're unsaved, wherever you are, humanist, materialist, evolutionist, whatever you are, you have no future. You know it, because your very philosophy and understanding is you have no future. Now, that means this is it. So anything we can get to have anything, whatever we're supposed to be doing, we do it. Because you and I don't have that. We're freed from the world system as believers in Christ. But they don't have that. So now, having said that, keeping that in mind, And so, in the process, the political, religious, not religious, religious, well, yeah, religious, political, religious, educational is advancing in power. They're exercising what they have been, but has been taught to them and taken, liberal and loose and indifferent, ignorant, and wrong thinking, and that's what we got going. So now, having said that, so the power, the position, the possessions, all of that is in motion in one way or another. And the China we mentioned going westward out to Africa and South India and all of those things. And they want, what do they want? They want fuel, power, power, and fuel, and money, and position. And that's what they want, the communism. And communism's goal, that's what it, so they're going to do that. And in the process of doing that, as they move westward and do all that, they have great control already, and I already said those things, and you know that better than I do. All kind, there's nothing, you'd have to go somewhere to find where they don't have the finger in the pie in this country, let alone any country, but in our country. So they're, yeah, so what they want to do, they already know what to do, and they can do it. So now, keeping that in mind, if you would, as you go, and so here's the nations moving, and here's Iran and Russia, here they are. And we looked at China just a little bit, the mood. You don't have to guess at it. That's what they're doing. That they want to be the world power and the present system in power in our country doesn't mind them being in power. Doesn't mind them having whatever, as long as you don't kill us. You remember the old thing years ago? You don't remember. Probably years ago. When the communist big thing was a big thing in the 50s and that, wow, communism. And we used to kid ourselves. Well, what are we going to say? And we go up to Steve and say, comrade, so that we are in agreement to protect ourselves. And so, comrades, that's what we're going to say. We aren't saying it, but that's what we think. We got to be comrades. Hey, well, listen, you can be the boss. You can have everything as long as we can do what we want and have what we want. So, having said that little bit, as you think of that, and then you've got Israel, and Israel is there. We'll look at that in just a sec for a moment. And then you've got the Antichrist up there in the north, Europe, and Europe is there. And Europe is not. Is Europe going to get swallowed up by China? No. I don't think so. But what's China doing? It wants to be the world power. But Europe isn't of that mind. We have now, by way of the system, surrendered being a world power, and we have now given it up. But Europe hasn't given it up. And the God of this world, Satan, isn't interested in giving it up. Because out of it, out, remember the hand with the feet of iron and clay, like the hand, and then you get, you're so close, here's your toes, the 10 toes. It doesn't say China, no. It's Europe. It's the European, out of those European Mediterranean area, you're going to have, that's old Roman Empire, you're going to have a rise, Roman Empire, in its particular thing, and that is going to rise up the 10 horns, 10 toes, 10 kings, all the same. Different way of saying it. It's going to rise up, and in the process of rising up, I'll give you another thing quickly here. Now, what do we know? Is the Antichrist, devil, go to the devil. The Antichrist is subservient. Here's the devil, Satan, our arch enemy. And here they are. Now, the devil, is the devil interested in being communist? Question. Is he interested in, no, he can't be communist. Communist is a godless philosophy. See, understand? Satan is not godless. Satan is very sharp. He, the angel, are the angels conscious of God? And we look at us and go, we're unconscious. Well, boy, you bet your boots they are. Look over in James, if you're just to turn your Bible, why not? And in James, picking up in thought, over if I can, sliding quickly, verse 18 and, well, verse 17. Chapter 2, verse 17. Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Verse 19. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils, demons, also believe and tremble. And what is, you know, Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28, what do you know? What do you know about the devil? Here you are. Wow. Evil. Who knows? Wow. What do we know? He wants to be like God. He can't be God. He isn't that stupid. Humans may want to try to play God, but the devil isn't going to try to play God. The devil is subservient to God. And he's getting away with what he's getting away with because God is letting it happen. But the devil is very conscious of God. He isn't going to be communist, understand? He isn't going to be Islamic. He'll be an Arab. No, he isn't. Allah isn't God, understand? There is no Allah. There is a God, but not Allah as they would approach him. You can't approach God on the basis of Allah. The devil doesn't want to be an Islam. He isn't interested in that. He's interested in being and taking over Judaism. He's interested in taking that Jerusalem and the temple that he's going to have built. He wants his image in the temple. The 10 tribes, the 10 kingdoms are up there. They're there. What's triggering it? I haven't lived there yet. I'm going to guess as China does all of its stuff, they want to take the fuel. They have a thing in the Mediterranean over to his Greece and here's Syria and that, and they're trying to get an oil line. They're having a big thing with North Africa back and forth, and they're getting that, trying to get the fuel line, gas, come over so they can sell it. And they're trying to stop that. They got a feud going. Because why should China and the other guys get all the benefit? See? So you're paying. It's profit, money, selling, buying, manipulating, managing. So in the process, the devil is going to be just where he's going to be. In the 10, out of the 10 nations up there, the European, Mediterranean setting. That's what he's going to do. And China, it's going to trigger the competition and the rise. I'll bet you. I haven't lived it yet. I'll bet you. In all of it. It's going to trigger it. Everything's triggering now. We aren't there. And Israel, what do we know about Israel? Israel must make, is going to look for an ally, not us anymore. And you can't trust the two or three nations that have lined up with it. And Iran isn't going to go away. Iran's busy with the nuclear and all of it. The violent war between the Shiites and the Sunnis or whatever they are, the Iranian Islam and Saudi Arabia Islam and et cetera, and opposed. So that isn't going to go away. And so in the process Israel needs. And what did God tell us? Out of the 10 toes, 10 toes, 10 horns, there's going to rise up the Antichrist. Where's he coming from? Out of them. And what's the Antichrist going to have to do? The Antichrist has to be there for the Israel to make a treaty to protect them. They got to make a treaty, and Iran isn't going to go away. Iran's going to get where it's going, and excel on all its allies, Russia, etc. That's why Russia's Ezekiel 38 and 39. You got that coming down. All of this stuff is there, and all I'm not telling you when it's going to be. It could be tomorrow, and we're gone. No, can't be tomorrow. We have to go before that can happen. But so here we are looking to God. And God, here we are in a very super awesome place. And all of it must happen. All of it must happen. It isn't going to go away. And the things that will happen very shortly, probably set up before the end of January, you'll know it. All this, it's a lot of it. A lot you're going to know. They aren't messing around. No messing around. They're going to go for the... And my thing is, I'm sitting back in my little brain here and waiting for all the people that thought they needed to have this thing happen, do what's happening. When it starts affecting their eating, buying, coming and going, I wonder how they'll like it then. See, they don't know the consequences of what they've just done. And if we live, and the Lord's going to tarry here a little, yes, for us, he could tarry, but the world is going to face, our country's going to face another election, etc. What are you going to do? What's it going to be, the conditions? Wow. Now, so therefore, with all the other things that are going on, and it's a sure thing, the pages have to be turned, etc. Now, a little bit on God's side of the scent. I don't want you sitting there saying, we'll have a nice little religious service, and I read you Psalm 34, and we have it, and pray. Well, I'll pray for our country and things to get better, see? And if we had that kind of thing, would you tell me what that would do if you said, if I sat through that, I'd ask myself, now what did that do for me? In the light of what I'm facing when I walk out the door. I better have something going for me that's going to help me get through this. And I better know how to get through it so that I don't get caught up in it and as it happens and say, I don't want to see the news anymore. I'd rather see whatever it is. I understand that. But you better understand and face what's going to happen. And don't kid yourself. There's nothing wrong with doing it. You need to be objective. God was so objective, he said, listen, I'm going to go and die on the cross. It is so bad. I'm going to die on the cross. You say, well, I don't see anything bad. God did. God sees the world in what? We're one step away, his grace, we're one step away from wrath. And when God lets go, which he will, and says that fear, you know, Hebrews, it's a fearful thing to what? To fall into the hands of the living God. We just read it in James. And the devils tremble. The demons tremble before God. It isn't some picnic. They know. They know what's ahead, a little. Now, over, if you would, to where? Over to Jeremiah. And in Jeremiah chapter 8, I think, will help us. In Jeremiah chapter 8, may I pick up, please, in thought. I'm going to go to verse 15, 8:15. All I'm trying to do, remember we did Jeremiah up to 29:30, but I'm just trying to get you to see. I'm looking at Israel. We shared it this morning. Israel was to be the nation to all the nations. They were to be superior and blessed to show God's magnificent person. Israel, before they crossed the Jordan, was warned that they were going to have evil and troubled days because they would not honor God. That evil and darkness is always there, but in order to proceed in God's blessing and going down the course, you've got to be looking to God. Now, and they were not going to do that. Chapter 8, they already had the Assyrian captivity, the Babylonian captivity. Chapter 8, verse 15, we looked for peace, and no good came, for a time of health, and behold, trouble. Trouble kept coming. You could have fixed. You didn't have to have Nebuchadnezzar level the city. You could have changed, but they didn't. They just knew trouble was coming. We've been in our country for all these years, and people that have written books and looked and analyzed, did the public generally follow them? No. They warned them way back here, what was coming if they didn't fix things. John Adams even said, how's that, the second president? He said, listen, if you don't have, understand, he wasn't the only one, understand that the Constitution and Declaration is written for a people that are looking Christian, Judeo, it's sort of written for people with a morality and a seeking to do the right thing, etc. That's what they were looking for. And if people don't want that, the Declaration and Constitution is not for them. It's only for people that want God and the Bible and truth and rightness. That's all it's for. So, and it's out of place right now, understandably. So, here's Israel, and there's nothing, no hope. Over to chapter 11. And in chapter 11, picking up, please, verse 12. And you'll catch it. 11:12. Then shall the cities of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem go and cry unto the gods, unto whom they offer incense. This is Israel. But they shall not save them at all in the time of their trouble. So what are we going to look? We're going to look for other solutions instead of God. And we aren't going to get them. Verse 14. Therefore, pray not thou for this people, neither lift up a cry or prayer for them, for I will not hear them in the time of their cry unto me for their trouble. Help us, help us. God said, I told you, you're reaping what you sow. You're going to get what you ask for. And when they have Congress, we're going to do it. Congress was saying, a man, a woman. Did I do that right? And then they had the whole sheet up. This is, I don't want to mention, I don't want you to think any people I'm saying. But the lady that's head of the Congress, I don't, it got her. And put that big sheet up. What's the new thing? You can't say man, woman, husband, wife, boy, girl. There was a whole list like this. And they have to be, something's wrong. You see, you can't use these words in Congress. That'll be interesting to see how that one goes. Wow. Now, so God, here they are. And over, if you would, chapter 30. What's going to happen? Well, Israel is only going to be reached by in trouble. Israel's going to be in trouble. Being in trouble, you make a treaty with the Antichrist to try to save you and keep you from being clobbered, etc. In trouble. Now, so God, that's history. That's we know. Now, God, would you confirm that in a different way? Chapter 30, as you know, in time of Jacob's trouble. I'm going to pick it up if I can in verse 7. Alas, I'll read verse 5. For thus saith the Lord, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. This is Israel, Jeremiah, in his day. Sliding down to verse 7. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even a time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. God, how are you going to reach Israel? I'm going to put them through the tribulation. A tribulation is to help save Israel. How do you save them? I'm going to send a trouble that is amplified to tribulation. And they're going to go through the tribulation. And that's when they're going to wake up. They aren't going to wake up till they get through it. That's what they're going to do. They have to do it. And then I'm coming. Then I'm coming. But they got to go through the tribulation. Uh-huh. That's what you said. Jacob's trouble. A terrible, terrible time. And I am going to go and judge the world and evil and all of those things. I'm going to judge Israel and save Israel at the same time. Now, having said that little bit about Israel, and we don't have to go to Daniel chapter 12. You don't have to turn there. We did that this morning a little bit, chapter 12, verse 1. And what he is telling God, well, after the tribulation, 12:1, I'm going to have, after this terrible time of trouble, I'm going to have Israel saved, the resurrection. I'm going to raise up Moses and Jeremiah and all these people and save the whosoever's that believe. I'm going to do that. And you say that in Daniel chapter 12, right? And then we read chapter 12, the end, the end, the end, the end, the end, about the end. Everything comes to an end, starts and ends. Now, having said that little bit, over if I can, please, in the light of that, over to Job. Now I'm going to see it. I want to see it from a personal standpoint. And in Job, and in chapter 23. Job and 23. And you know it. It's a wonderful, wonderful section of Job. And Job is going to go through all kinds of things. And now just apply. This is now personal now. Job's being put through. The world's still dark and evil, way back before the days of Abraham. All of it's there, no question. It's all there. But here's a godly man being blessed by God, obviously, and the devil doesn't want him to be blessed. The system doesn't want our country to be blessed. That's why they're going to do what they do. They don't want. Who doesn't want it? The devil doesn't want it. Because blessing keeps you in place of power. And I don't want you in a place of power. So I'm not going to do that. I hate it. That's why is Job going to be punished? He isn't doing a thing. God's going to educate Job. Educate him so that he understands. So that he understands. And that's, as you're reading, he gets clobbered in 24 hours. And then the devil isn't happy because Job isn't going to give in. And Job hangs in there. And the next thing you know, God gives permission to the devil to make him plagued from head to toe with some disease. And he has the disease. He has to live trying to cure it all the time and pacify and soothe himself. And he's there. Now, God, you did that. The devil wanted to test him. Test him. Now, God, we're going to go through. That's right. Hang on, though. We're different. And here's Job. So here, picking up, I'm not going to do it all for time's sake. Verse 1, verse 8. 23:8. Behold, I go forward, and he is not there, backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. But what do you know, Job, in all of this exercise? But he knoweth, God knows the way that I take. God knows what's happening to me and how it's going to go. Then when he hath tried me, put me to the proof, to the test, to be exercised, when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. It's an exercise. God wants me to grow and understand why the world is going to be clobbered. And we as believers need to understand why it's going to be clobbered. We need to understand our Father is going to do what he's going to do, and we want to be on the same page with God. That's what God's going to do, and we approve it. Amen. A woman. Amen. Amen. Wow. Now, having said that, and sliding down now to what I was after, to verse 14. I'll read verse 13. But he is of one mind, and who can turn him? And what his soul desireth, even that he doeth. For he performeth the thing that is appointed unto me, for me, and many such things are with him. God, you're going to let all these things happen. I am. Verse 15. Therefore am I troubled. Troubled at his presence. When I consider, I am afraid of him. Why? For God maketh my heart soft, weak, more susceptible, more humbled. God maketh my heart soft, and the Almighty troubleth me. God, you're going to let that happen. Do you hear what the president, the new one, just said? Do you know what they're just going to do? Did you hear that? God said, listen, what'd you say, Job? Verse 16, for God maketh my heart soft, and the Almighty troubleth me. What's the trouble? The world I live in, my body, my world, it is... Why is it all happening like that, you see? Why can't we just go home, right? But we can't go home. Why? Because you've got something to do tomorrow, and you've got a test at school, and you had a little vacation planned up, and I don't know where you'd go except to your house. That's the only place you can't get confined there. And you do all that. What are you going to do? Well, are you really ready? Well, no, because I haven't even put my pajamas on yet, you see. Are we ready? No, we aren't ready. We have to understand our human nature is locked into here and now, isn't it? Really, you think about it, that's what we're running with. Going home, getting up, doing what we have to do, eating what we do, how we do it. That's where we are. It's awful hard to want to exit all of it. And fortunately, you're going to get help in the exit. You know why? Because when God does this, how many minutes do you think you have to think about it? How many minutes do you have in a splitting of an atom? Here, gone. You're going to leave your body gone. As the body, as we, the old part, get new, all going to be changed, I should say, that way, but people that have died. And in the process, we're going to get new, and everything is gone. The clothes are gone, the rent's gone, the car's gone, the keys to the car, it doesn't matter where they are, it doesn't matter about anything. In a moment, and God's going to make it fast. So you and I don't even have a little thought. It just, boom. That's wonderful. That's the only way we go, because with otherwise we'd say, hold it. Hold it, we aren't ready yet. See? Wow. Now, having said that little bit, that's Job. Job, are you going to get out of this? No, Job has to finish it in order to learn things too wonderful for him, to learn about God. That's what we're doing. It's our turn. Now, over if I can. I got to do it quickly, and maybe too quick, but so what? Chapter 14 of the Gospel of John. And in chapter 14, you are going to recall, as we did that, we did at least that, and the disciples are in the upper room, the 12, and they're there, and they are brought into a very personal, personal setting with God that the others weren't, or the other people, believers, weren't. And they were given a wonderful heads up on how the war was going to go until he comes. They were given heads up so they know it, so that they could be out there with some intelligence in their head to be able to help people to comfort them, encourage them, because they already know what the general, the highest in command, our Lord, is going to do. They know what he's going to do. So therefore, they help people so they can survive. Now, so here's John chapter 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. And here they are. So they're given this awesome thing. That's very discouraging. Very discouraging. You look at chapter, I can't do it too much. Chapter 16. Chapter 16, verse 1. These things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended. Then they shall put you out of our synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service. These things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. They're going to do them. No. What kind of future is that? And you're going to be crucified and we're left alone. Prison, death, who knows? Uh-huh. No, God, what did you tell them before you said that to them? God, what did you tell them? Chapter 14. And you know it. Verse 1. Let not your heart be what? Troubled. Don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God and believe in me. You're going to trust me. I'm trying to tell you. I am God. I'm going to try to tell you something. And therefore, God, what are you going to try to tell me? What are you going to try to tell me? Am I going to get a good job in retirement and a wonderful place on the island of somewhere? No. No, I'm going to tell you what the good news is for you. What is the good news? Verse 2, in my Father's house are many mansions or abiding places. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go in to prepare a place for you. I'm going to go to my Father, and he has a special place for you. Place for you. It isn't an island out in the middle of the ocean. Oh, no, no. It's God's wonderful place in the middle of heaven. That's what it is. Now, and therefore you know, you understand, verse 3, and if I go and prepare a place for you, did he go? How's that question? Did he go? That's the question. If he went, then the next thing is true. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Why are you going to come and get us to the clouds in the air? Because that where I am, there you may be also. So I'm coming again to get to my Father's house. You say, but boy, I could have this and that. No, he said, you have no idea. I have my Father's house. That's where you're going to be, in my Father's house. You aren't going to be in a neighborhood, suburban, urban neighborhood. You aren't going to do that. I'm going to put you in my Father's house, where my Father is. That's where I'm going to put you. Okay. Therefore, chapter 14, over I can, and if I can, pick it up quickly. Verse 27. Peace I leave with you, said God. Peace I give unto you. I give it. I leave it with you. I give it to you. Not as the world giveth. Not as the world gives. The world doesn't have any peace to give. It gives you a false peace. Verse 27. Give I unto you. Therefore, since I'm giving you my peace, let not your heart what? Be troubled. Since I gave you my peace, they haven't got out of the upper room yet, and they haven't gone through the cross, but the day of Pentecost, God did it for them. And he said, now don't back off, back down, or be a coward. Line yourself up and go down the corridor of time. You're going to represent me, and all of you guys, apostles, are going to get clipped. Some are going to get clipped, killed, some hung on a cross or whatever, like I was, like I'm going to be. It's all right what I'm going to do, but I want you to be encouraged. It's trouble. You're in a troubled world that is very troubling and in trouble with God. It isn't going away. They're on a collision course with God. That's where it's headed. Now, chapter, in the light of that piece, chapter 16. And you recall, as he comes near to his prayer and the end, chapter 16, verse 33. These things have I spoken unto you. Why? That in me, in Christ, not in anyone else, not in the prophets, not in your reading of the Bible, in him, in his person. That's what you're resting in. His word tells you to rest in his presence. That's what you're doing. And God is in charge of every, I know this, you know this, every particle of dust, the zillions of them that are floating around, he knows every one of them. Every snowflake. God said, you're trusting me. Trusting me, underline. John 17 and 8. Moses is gone, the law. Elijah's gone, the prophets. And they saw Jesus only. God said, I'm the only one. I don't want you looking. But what's the solution, God? Look to me. What are we going to do? Look to me. What am I going to say? Look to me. Look to me. Just keep trusting me. Now, verse 16 again. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. I already told you, I gave you my peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, squeezing, pressure, oppression. But be of good cheer, be encouraged. I have overcome the world. Now God, so when I received you as my Savior, now God, here you are. We recognize we were dead in sin and all of that, and we believed and received the Lord as our Savior. Now God, when you come in, how much did he save you? Is that right? Okay. Now here you are, from head, top of your head, down to your feet. How much did he save you? What part of you didn't he save? Now I know the old flesh is going to go, but I'm looking at it from the body. When you got saved, is bought with a price. It is now his body. I've said that 7 zillion times. It's his body. Now, that's what I understand. So what part of the body didn't he save? How's that? What part of it didn't he do? Then God said, I overcame. What did you overcome? I took the whole thing and I overcame every ill problem, torture, crucified, lions eating you, or whatever. I overcame it. I don't mind. Don't you think of Matthew chapter 10. Don't be concerned about what people do to the body. Don't, it isn't an issue. They can't touch you inside. You live inside. They could take your hand and pound it and knock it into pieces, but they can't touch you. They can't touch you. I've overcome. You're mine. But my hand, it's true. It's true. But that isn't an issue. And if you don't make it an issue, then I don't have to test you and put you through whatever because you're so slow of heart to believe. Why don't you believe? What do I have to do? Twist your arm? Think of Psalm 32. Do I have to twist your arm every time I'm trying to tell you something? And do you have to keep going through this and this and this and you never learn it? Learn it quick. That's what I've got, my little bit of life. Learn quickly. I don't intend to take 2 seconds to debate God. Really. I don't debate God about anything. I really don't. Not one thing that I know of. I have all my dumb old nature doing everything. But man, no words. Spirit of God, so be it. Whatever you say. Whatever you want. Period. Now, having said that, God, you've overcome. So here we are, trusting you as our Lord and Savior, and that's what we ought to be doing. So therefore, over in 1 Peter chapter 3. I don't know that we did very much to try to help you understand. There's a whole lot going on, a whole lot's going to happen, and I don't know how ready you are to go into the ring. I don't know how ready you are to step out of the gate into the great arena and the crowds. Think of 1 Corinthians 4. The apostles stepped into the arena and the whole world was looking. They were spectators looking and cheering. They were cheering as they went out into they're going to get there. And that's what happened. They went out into that arena. And that's where we are, out into the arena, if we want to be. Otherwise, we hide, like Nicodemus. We don't want to say too much because I want to keep my membership in the Pharisees and everything. No, we're in the arena, so be it. Chapter 3, 1 Peter, and in verse 14. Verse 14. But, and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, be sad and go to the psychiatrist. Oh, it doesn't say that. It doesn't say that. No. But if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are you. Don't be afraid of their terror. And they are terrible. Don't be troubled. Stop being troubled. I told you, don't be troubled. Don't have a troubled heart. You don't need to have a troubled heart. You need to have a peaceful heart. That's where the power is. We shared that on the before. And the peace of God, Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, the peace of God which passes all understanding will guard your heart. And I understand that there's no way to understand it. You just learn to trust God in the pain, the heartache, the difficulties, the stupidity of everything. And you just look and say, we're humans. That's what I say. Us humans, all of us, humans, 350 million of us in America, whatever. And us humans are humans. What do you want from us? We're humans. We're all the same in God's grace, in God's kindness. Therefore, sanctify, verse 13, 15, sanctify the Lord God in your heart. Set him apart. Make sure you're not burying him in a corner. You want to make sure he isn't, put him in the basement. You don't want to put him in the attic. You want him to have free reign through the house. In any room, any aspect of your life, put it in, it's easy to see it. Any aspect of your life that you cherish, that you're looking for, that you, whatever you do, he is to have access to that aspect of your life. And that's what he wants. To the measure we let him have that is the measure we enjoy being overcomers. And sanctify the Lord God in your heart, and therefore ready to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you. What is the hope that is in you? You all know it. Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. We'll say it. Christ in you, the hope of glory. The hope that is in you. What do they want to know about God, Christ in you? The hope of glory. What is your hope? Your wonderful expectancy. It's God. So we don't, God, period. No one else. Nothing else. No, just you, God. You need to do this, God. You need to, no, I'm just going to trust you, period. Now, all those things are there. All those things are relevant, important, but God, it's you. I'm going to look to you, period. I'm going to trust you. Nothing else, no one else, in no other way. God, even so, come. And how are you going to end? Remember Daniel chapter 12? Daniel is told the end, and you have to wait, and you can't understand because it isn't now. We have a finished book. God comes to Revelation 22 and says, don't add or subtract 18, 19. And then he says, he doesn't say, seal the book. He doesn't say to wait or worry. he says, simply, I'm coming quickly. That's how he ends. I'm coming quickly. Amen. That's how. So how we left? I'm coming quickly.